my friends. I'm Pastor Mike Hazelwood with Zion Baptist Church here in beautiful Benton, Tennessee, gateway to the Cherokee National Forest. I want to thank you for joining us again for worship and a message from God's Word. I also want to encourage you to like us on Facebook at Zion Baptist Church Benton and drop us an email and let us know how God has blessed you. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see everyone on this, what I believe, a beautiful, beautiful Lord's Day. Yeah, if I can get my... Here we go. 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. If you're not aware, this morning is not only is the Lord's Day, but it's a special Sunday that we have specifically. For two men of our church, Sean Basil and Gary Rogers. And we made the announcement several weeks ago that this morning we would be having deacon elections. And before that time, though, I want to share with you a little bit special insight this morning of what the Bible says a deacon's office is and how these men, along with our other deacons, are to perform in concert with the Church of Jesus Christ. And there's a lot, I believe, in the church today, in churches today, a misunderstanding of exactly what deacons are called to do with the biblical perspective as opposed to the traditional perspective. And so I want to give you some idea of what this office is, so you'll have a better perspective then at the end of my message here. And at the end of my message then, we're going to pass out some slips of paper and be very, very small, very tiny. And all the members, if you're a member of Zion Baptist Church, you'll receive one of these. And it says Gary Rogers, yes or no, circle one or the other. And Sean Basil, yes or no, circle one or the other. It's that simple. And based not only on what we know of these men, but with the information that I'm going to share with you this morning. And then during the time of the offering, if you'll just drop these into the offering plate with your tithes and offerings, and then we'll go further from that. So, if you're excited this morning, say amen.
Amen.
I am. I'm very excited. And I think that's just part of growing pains and also then a part of maturing pains in the church. And it's great to be in need of deacons. And our deacon body that we have now is serving and has served well and continues to serve well. And I believe these men... will be a much added gift. If you have found 1 Timothy chapter 3, say amen.
Amen.
Let's stand together in honor of our Father's Word. And again, we would like to welcome our internet listening friends and family. And this morning, and our friends in India, and our friends down in the U.S. Virgin Islands. I've been talking with Brother Lawrence Turnbull, and whom we had an extensive partnership there when I was with the Beulah Association. And he's in St. Thomas, and you know that they got directly hit with two of the hurricanes. And the church fared fairly well, but his whole roof was taken off of his house. And but they are still worshiping today. And, you know, I think of it how a little bit of rain keeps us out of church. And can you imagine having the whole roof torn off your house by way of a tornado or something? But you know what? That doesn't stop you from worshiping and going and worshiping the Lord. And so, Brother Lawrence Turnbull, we're very aware of that, and we are in prayer for you and along the rest of our friends that are around the world. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, Paul is writing to what some say is his spiritual son in the ministry. Paul is writing these words knowing, as you read through 1 and 2 Timothy, that the time of his departure is at hand. He has finished his race. He's finished the course. It's time for him to depart. The Holy Spirit has given him that knowledge. In other words, he knows that he's leaving this earth. God is taking him home. And so he is leaving instructions for Timothy, who will be the under-shepherd, who will be the bishop, who will be the elder of the churches in and of that area. And he's letting Timothy know that with what we're going to read here today, that in the organization of the church, that simply Timothy can't do it all himself. And there will be need for servants in the church, deacons in the church. And in chapter 3, we'll pick up with the qualifications of what the Bible says is a biblically qualified person to be an overseer and deacons. And so you got to be careful with chapter 3 and not lump it all together, because there's two very different distinct callings and types of people which are being addressed in these scriptures. One is overseer. And by the way, anytime you look in the New Testament, you see the word overseer, bishop, elder, or pastor. They are all synonymous. They are the spiritual and give spiritual direction for the church. And then there's the word deacon, deaconos, which is totally different and separate from an elder, a bishop, a pastor, or an overseer. And so you got to make that distinction. As a matter of fact, in my Bible, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, it's entitled for that chapter, Overseers and Deacons, is what it's entitled. And so we want to look at this morning as we read about the responsibility of deacons this morning. And we're going to look specifically then, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8. The previous seven are for the overseer, bishops, pastors, and elders. Verse 8 picks up with deacons. In verse 8, it says, "Deacons likewise must be men of dignity, not double-tongued or addicted to much wine or fond of sword gain, but holding to the mystery of faith with a clear conscience. These men must also first be tested, and let them serve as deacons if they are beyond reproach." Let's go to our Father in prayer. Father, we just come to you this morning, and we give you thanks for your word. And Father, as we continue to read some more of these verses, and as we look and put them in light of and in context of what the scripture says with other places in Acts chapter 6 and other places, may we see and look at the character of the men in which we're looking at today. And Father, then look at the service of these men and the needs of the body of Christ that we have here at Zion Baptist Church. And Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to be here. Father, we thank you for these men. We thank you for this congregation, which we know are very spiritual, and they'll look and examine this outside of tradition, outside of personal needs and wants, but they'll look at it with a biblical perspective. And we know that you'll be honored and glorified in everything that is done here today. And that is our prayer. And in Jesus' name we pray. And they all said, amen. Thank you. Be seated. The Bible continues on in verse 11, says, "Women must likewise be dignified, not malicious gossips, but temperate, faithful in all things. And deacons must be husbands of one wife." And I believe with all my heart that's in reference to polygamy. "Husbands of one wife and good managers of their children and of their home households. For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves in high standing and with great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus." Now, let me share with you as I go through this very quickly this morning. And by the way, on your way out this morning, I have on the foyer, on the table, on the way out, much of what I'm going to share with you this morning. It's for you. It's free for you to pick up. And along those lines also then, I also have some of these. You'll see them. It's I Am. And what it is it's the Gospel of John. But it also has the plan of salvation in the front, and it's stamped with a church website and address on it. And these are for you to have. Get however many you like. We've got plenty. And to have put in your automobile or put in your purse or something like that. And when you go through a drive-in window, when you talk to somebody at Walmart, just hand them one. And so they've got the Gospel of John. They've also got the plan of salvation, and they got the church's website. And so they're very neat. It's just there to give you an opportunity to have a point of contact with someone. And so feel free to get those. And again, get those if you're going to use them. If you don't mind, the little hands, these are for use for evangelism, and that are going to be used. So the little hands, instead of letting the little ones grab 5 or 10 or 15 of them, and we find them on the parking lot, strode all the way out to the cars, you adults, you mom and dads, be careful, be sure. If your children are old enough to use these responsibly, you're more than welcome. But otherwise, we want to be sure that we utilize this. This is the Word of God, and we want to get this in the hands of people that need it, along with the plan of salvation. So both of those are on the table as you leave this morning. Get you a copy of the Responsibility of Deacons and get you a Gospel of John. There are several of them. And put them in your automobile or in your purse or whatever it might need to be. The responsibility of deacons. Well, most oftentimes, the office of the spiritual leader, the pastor, the bishop, and the elder is often the one that's emphasized in the Bible, in the Scripture, and probably rightly so. But more importantly, the office of deacon is probably one of the most misunderstood, as opposed to the office of pastor, overseer, and elder. Based on the New Testament, the role of the deacon is mainly to be a servant. Say that with me, servant. A deacon is to be a what?
Servant.
A servant. And we're going to look at that. Based on the New Testament, the role of the deacon is to be the servant, and the church needs deacons to provide all the different type of things that are going on, the logistical and material support, so that the elders, the bishop, the overseers, the pastors can focus on the Word of God and prayer. In other words, the deacon and the deacon body are to help organize and oversee. We'll see that in just a minute. It's not totally on their plate, but they are at least to help serve and to organize to be sure all the needs of the church is met, so that the spiritual leaders of the church can spend their time in the work and in the ministry. So they work in concert one with another. Not one is any more important than the other, but they work in concert one with another. You know, I couldn't tell you which is more important, my left foot or my right foot. I wouldn't like to lose either one of them. And they're both important, but each one of them have a function. Same way with my right hand and my left hand. And so it is with deacons and pastors and elders and bishops and overseers and so on and so forth. And so there are unique responsibilities and duties laid out for each one. Now, the New Testament doesn't provide much information concerning the role of deacons. I believe that's because it's largely left up and laid out with certain foundational principles up to the local body of Christ to determine what needs to be done. A church in the inner city, its needs are going to be a lot different than a church out in the country like we are. A church with 700 or 1,000 members is going to be different to a certain extent than a church with 150 members. A church with a lot of youth compared to a church with a lot of seniors and so on and so forth. A church with a new building is going to be different from a church with a much older building, and what needs need to be kept and so on and so forth. A church with a lot of finances is going to be different from a church with little finances, and what needs to be organized and what needs to be done. So I believe for the most part we're going to look at some standard principles, but then at the same time the Bible doesn't go into great detail because the needs are going to be different for the different bodies, local bodies of the Church of Jesus Christ. Now, the requirements are given here in verses 8 through 12, which we just looked on. And did you notice something about these requirements when you look again at your verse there? Verse 8. Deacons likewise, now likewise refers back to verse 7, must have a good reputation with those outside the church so that he'll not fall into reproach and the snare of the devil, not be a prideful type person, and also then be able to communicate and work with those outside of the church. Deacons likewise must be men of dignity, not double-tongued nor addicted to much wine. They must be a person who holds to the mysteries of faith with a clear conscience. You know what that means? And I ask questions, they're rhetorical questions, but sometimes you'd like to hear an answer. They mustn't be a hypocrite. They must not be a hypocrite. In other words, they hold to the mystery of faith with a clear conscience. In other words, what they say they believe and what they have taught, they live a clear conscience when they go home and lay their head on the pillow at night. These men must first be tested. I believe one of the greatest ways to find deacons is you'll find men already serving. You'll find men already serving. That's the test. You'll find men already serving in this capacity. And must be tested. And they must be beyond reproach. Verse 12, the husband of only one wife. In the words of a country song, a one-woman man, not to be a polygamist, not to have more than one wife at that time, and not to be somebody who has got a wandering eye, and so on and so forth, not somebody that has been separated from his wife two or three times and they've gotten back together or had some affairs and things of that nature, or been married 10 or 15 different times. But somebody, if they are married, you remember the Apostle Paul wasn't married, many of the disciples weren't married, Christ himself wasn't married, but if he is married, he must be dedicated to his wife in his heart. We understand this, but what I want you to look at here, right here, is the requirements deal with the candidate, with the deacon's character, with their character. And to be totally honest with you, a lot of times I think in church history, what determines whether or not a man can be a deacon or not is whether or not he's in and out of the church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. If they're there at the church all the time, which would be good, it is important if you're going to serve the church, it would stand to reason that you need to be at the church so you can see the needs that need to be met in the families in the church and in the church facility and building. But the reality of it is, I believe somewhere along history and along the way, we've traded the character of a deacon for the attendance of a man. That if he comes to church and he's there, and if he tithes, and I believe deacons ought to tithe and give, they ought to be give, they ought to love the Lord with all their heart and honor him with the first fruits of all that he's blessed them with. But they've substituted that, and the character's fallen by the wayside. And or traditionally then, if you're not very careful, you might have a man who fits the office of a deacon, fits the role of a deacon, has the character of a deacon, but his wife does not. And I believe all my heart that if the wife of a certain person does not meet this characteristic which is shared there in verse 11, that would disqualify that person from being a deacon. If a man cannot have a wife whom he can trust, whom he can share intimate knowledge with and secrets with, and if he doesn't have the wife who has a character, who she's not a malicious gossip, and keeps Verizon and AT&T and Sprint and all them supported and Facebook going and things of that nature, if he doesn't have a woman he can trust, then that stops him from serving in the office of a deacon. And because that can create confusion and so on and so forth. And so you're looking at character. The Bible places a lot of emphasis on character. After all, doesn't the Bible say about us that God ponders the what? Your heart. We look at the outward appearance. You remember when they was choosing a king for Israel, they was looking at Saul and all that because he was so big and good looking and handsome and strong. But the Bible says God looks at the heart of a person. And so what you're looking at is the heart of your candidate. And that's what the church is to look at. And so there are, however, some clues as to the function of deacons when their requirements are compared with those of the overseer, the bishop, the pastor, the elder, and so on and so forth. Not all, but many of these qualifications are the same. They're similar. And there are some differences, and I'll just throw this in there. Perhaps the most noticeable distinction between elders and deacons, or between bishops, pastors, overseers, and deacons, is that a deacon doesn't have to be able to teach. There in chapter 3 and verse 2, a pastor, a teacher, an elder, an overseer must be apt to teach and able to teach. And so deacons are called to hold to the faith with a clear conscience, but they're not called to teach the faith as the pastors and elders and bishops and overseers are. Now what this is, this suggests that the deacons do not have an official teaching role in the church, so to speak. So there's not an expectation that a deacon is serving in the office of a pastor or bishop or overseer. They're not called to do that. So this goes to the fact, I've heard people before when I've asked them, sometimes people, have you ever thought about serving as a deacon? And I've had people say, well, I'm not a good teacher, or I can't hold a prayer meeting, or I can't do this. That has nothing to do with it. Do you have a servant's heart? Do you have a servant's heart? And are you able to work and subjugate yourself to the congregation of the body of Christ and to the leadership and the spirit of the Heavenly Father? Now, I say this because not only are we looking at these two men this morning, but I believe there's other men in this church here who need to prayerfully seek. The Bible says if you seek the office of a deacon, you seek a good thing, because you seek the office of serving the body of Christ, the bride of Christ. And so I want you to think about that. So it's not that you're a preacher or teacher or apt to teach or anything else. That's not a qualification given by the Scripture. It's the ability to serve. It's the ability to serve. And we'll look at a few other things here in just a second. The Bible says, likewise, and like the elders, deacons have to manage their house and family well. You see that in verse 4 and in verse 12. But when referring to deacons, Paul omits the section where he compares managing one's household to taking care of the church like he does in verse 5. So the reason for this omission is likely due to the fact that deacons are not given a ruling or leading position in the church. That function belongs to the overseers, the bishops, or the pastors, or the elders. And a lot of times, in many churches, sometimes they intertwine. Sometimes deacons do have a certain part of the office, or they certainly have certain responsibilities like elders. I know a lot of the churches in which I from back and around and that I've dealt with, they have both the office of deacons and elders. And that's scriptural. It seems like for the most part, the traditional South and in Baptist life, they've done away with elders. And I believe the part of that is because they've taken the office of pastor to include all this other. But a pastor could have a board of elders, which are spiritually in tune and inclined people, and to help give direction for the church. But the deacons are not part of that. That's not a part. They can be. And they can be dually aligned or dually gifted, but that's not a specific part or calling to the deacon in and of itself. So he also goes along then and he says a person must be tested before he can hold that office. He said in verse 10. And the requirement of that, he cannot be a new convert. That's not included like it is in the office of the elder. Because if a person is an elder or a pastor and they're a new convert, they've just been saved, the Bible says they can become puffed up, or they can become conceited, or they can become prideful. Well, it tells us that in verse 6. And so we want to understand that that's not likely for a deacon. You can see it for an elder or for a pastor or for a bishop. that if he's just been born again, he's just been saved, and suddenly he's up in front of the church and he's leading and giving direction to this congregation of people, Satan can use that as a foothold to lead him down an avenue of false pride and so on and so forth. We know that pride cometh before the fall. But what the Bible's indicating here, I believe, is this. That if a person becomes a deacon, he's a servant. And the mere definition and attitude of a servant is to serve out of humility, to be humble. And if you are a servant, you don't have to wrestle no whole lot with pride. There might be some issues along the way, but I believe the Bible is very distinctive here between elders and deacons, or between bishops and pastors and deacons, when it deals with this in the new convert issue. I've said that to say this. A lot of people traditionally in the South and in Baptist life believe that you can't become a deacon until suddenly you get around the age of, 45, 50, 55, or 60. You got the gray hair and you're this mature and you're that mature. The Bible says, you know what? If you're 25 years old and you've got a servant's heart, and we'll talk about here in just a minute what a deacon does, you can serve as a deacon. You can serve as a deacon. Don't wait till you get so old you can't do anything to think that you can be a deacon. You understand what I'm saying? Say, yes. Yeah, it can be you. It can be you. As a matter of fact, I think some, not all, but some of the best deacons are those who are younger, to where they can do something, physically do something. Because the attitude and the calling of a deacon is to physically do stuff. You've got to be able to work to be a deacon. You've got to be able to physically serve in order to be able to serve in the capacity which I believe the Bible speaks about here. And being a deacon. So we understand here the word elder here in the first seven verses here in the third chapter, 1 Timothy chapter 3, has to deal with the spiritual leadership and direction of the overseers, bishop, pastors, and elders. And then here 8 through 12 then deals with the servitude of the man being a deacon and what the qualifications are in his character and what his wife's character should be. And if he's married, in order to serve in that capacity. Now, beyond what we can glean from the differences in these qualifications, the Bible doesn't clearly indicate, again, the function of a deacon. But if you have your Bible, look in Acts chapter 6. Yet based on this pattern, I want you to see in Acts chapter 6 this pattern that's said here with the apostles and the choosing of the first deacons. Anybody know? I keep asking questions. But does anybody know how many deacons they were in the first church? Seven. That's exactly right. They were seven. By the way, seven is a number recorded again over and over in the Scripture which has to do with perfection and completion. Perfection and completion. There's seven here found in Acts chapter 6. As a matter of fact, just let me turn there myself. One of my favorite recording in the Bible. Chapter 6 verse 1 says, "Now at this time while the disciples were increasing in numbers." Disciples means those who are born again and those who are wanting to learn how to enhance their relationship with the Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ and learn about God. "A complaint arose on the part of the Hellenistic Jews." These were Jews who were converted, who spoke the Greek language instead of Hebrew language. And so they were having a language barrier, a communication barrier, and so on and so forth, against the native Hebrews, because their widows were being overlooked in the daily serving. You see that word serving of food. And so the 12 summoned the congregation of the disciples together and said, "It is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables." Now, let me say this about that verse very quickly. And if you know the disciples' heart, this is not a statement made out of pride. This is a statement made out of calling. And God calls and gifts every body of Christ, every congregation, with a special calling on your life and my life. And in those callings, He gives gifts. And in order for us to fulfill our purpose in our life in Christ Jesus, we need to exercise our gifts, and our gifts are our primary purpose. Now, that's not to mean that a pastor whose first and primary purpose is to walk in concert with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and to study His Word and then to expound upon His Word and teach upon His Word, that doesn't mean that a pastor doesn't fold chairs and pick up tables. As a matter of fact, somebody called me and said, "I dropped off some tables over the church we use for a yard sale." I said, "Okay, I'm going and getting them and putting them back in the house." It doesn't mean that things like that are beneath the office of a pastor, overseer, or elder. But what it does mean is my primary purpose is to spend time in the Word. To do something that nobody else has that specific calling for, nor gift for. And so my primary purpose is to do that. So there's no pride associated with this, and it shouldn't be. And there shouldn't be, and it shouldn't be taken that way. And somebody should not feel inferior when they hear this, or be mad at the apostles when they said this, and or anyone else, or what their calling is in the present day in which we live in. He said in verse 3, Therefore, what's the therefore for? It's there for the previous verse. In order for the apostles to spend the proper amount of time in the Word of God, in the teaching of God's Word, in the ministering to the people, in praying over the people, laying hands over the people, and so on and so forth, and directing the spiritual affairs of the church. Therefore, brethren, select from among you 7 men of good reputation. You remember we said in 1 Timothy chapter 3, when we read those qualifications, those standards, that they all had to deal with the men's what? Character. Might be synonymous with reputation. Men of good reputation, full of the Spirit. Full of the Spirit. Remember we said they should not be hypocritical. Should not be hypocrisy. They should hold to the faith. They should be men of faith. And because this, you can't serve if you're not born again. And you can't serve the body of Christ if you're not maturing in your faith. You can't serve if you're not connected with God, because servitude is a very unthankful job a lot of the time. Sometimes when I go to restaurants and I see the waitress come and serve the tables, I just listen. Every time I go somewhere, I feel like I'm in a classroom all the time. Not to be judging people, but to see the culture in which we're in, and especially to see others, and especially on Sundays when the Church of Jesus Christ goes out and eats in restaurants and things of that nature. I like to see how other people, all dressed up and smelling good and look good, I like to see how they treat the servants that come to their table. And whether they say thank you every time somebody brings them the tea or whatever it might be, and greet them with a smile and so on and so forth, or whether they just believe that they're entitled to the service that's coming because after all, they're paying for this and they're going to leave a tip. You can't serve the body of Christ if you think you're entitled to anything. We don't deserve anything. Isn't that true? That's true. All that we need to ask for, I've been thinking about putting on the church sign out there, live in grace but ask for mercy every day. In order to be a servant, you have to realize that, you know what, I'm very grateful and thankful that He allows me to serve. I was just thinking the other day, and I was, you know, how great it would be. We all think about what we would like to do in heaven, how great it would be, the Bible says, to even be a doorman in the house of God. How great it would be to be a gatekeeper to the palace of heaven. How great it would be to even sweep the floors in the kingdom if they needed to be swept. That's the type of heart and an attitude that a servant must have. Good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom. Wisdom. You know what the wisdom has to deal with? The application of knowledge that you gain from the Bible, not only about the Heavenly Father, but about your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Yeah, that's the truth. If you don't have wisdom and knowledge that comes from God, you won't last long as a deacon or as a servant for Christ, because people will hurt you. You won't last long as a church member if you're not full of the Spirit and full of wisdom, because people will hurt your feelings. Would you believe that? You might not be able to stop whether or not somebody hurts your feelings, but we are responsible how we react to those hurt feelings. And by the way, I believe it's written somewhere that the just live by faith. We don't live by our feelings. We live by the very word that proceeds out of the mouth of God every day, not by our feelings and by our emotions. They're wonderful. God made them and gave them to us, but we don't live by them. And we don't serve by them. We can't do that. Good reputation, full of the Spirit and wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task. Not that they might do this, but they might be in charge of this task. Now, I want you to understand this. The deacon's call is not to do it all, but the deacon's call is to be in charge and to see that it gets done. All of our call as members of the body of Christ is each to serve in whatever function and capacity in which He's given us. That means we're all in charge to take care of a few things I'm going to show you here in just a minute. But the deacons are in charge, and the church grantfully gives them this authority to be in charge and to be an overseer to see that these things get done. Now, they got 7 people right here to prove the point right here. Do you know how many people was in this church? 5,000. That's a pretty good group, isn't it? That's bigger than First Baptist Cleveland up here. Without the phones and without the computers and without the automobiles and without refrigerators and without everything, they had 5,000 people, all living on or at the poverty level, we would call it. Without welfare and all the government entities that come to take care of this, so it was left up to the church to meet the needs of the people. And they said, choose out from amongst yourselves 7 men. And I often said this before, and I believe there's only one way to conclude this. How in the world did they find 7 out of 5,000? They found some men that were already serving in that capacity. You know, so-and-so, he takes care of so-and-so widow. So-and-so takes care of this and so-and-so. I've seen him do it. I know he's got a good heart. He's got a good character, so on and so forth. He's got a wonderful wife, and she cooks, and she does this for these people, and so on and so forth. I don't think they was that hard to pick out of the group. By the way, this is immediately following after the day of Pentecost, and so by the way, all of these people are pretty new converts. All of these people are pretty new converts. I keep harking on that because I want a lot of you younger guys to know this just isn't for the older men. Pretty new converts here. Said, you pick them out. You pick them out. Verse 4, and we'll devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry. Verse 5, the statement found approval with the whole congregation. They chose Stephen. It goes down through there and it gives a name of all of those. And it says, these they brought before the apostles. It talks about this, what we would call the ordination service after praying and laying on of hands to them. And then look at what happens then in verse 7. Remember, verse 2, they said, it's not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve these tables. Why? We've got a priority to do. And if the deacons do what they're chosen to do, and if they organize and see that the needs of the church are being met, look what happened in verse 7 then. And the word of God kept on doing what? Spreading. And the number of disciples continued to increase greatly. Not just increase, but increase greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of the priests were becoming obedient. They were priests. Jewish priests being saved, coming to faith in Christ Jesus, because the apostles were able to emphasize their time in the Word, do what they needed to do to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. I say the apostles, the deacons, the overseers, the bishops, the pastors, we would call in nowadays language, because the deacons were able to meet the logistical needs of the people. They were able to meet, that's an awesome, awesome calling right there. To meet the logistical needs of the people to where the others could spend what time they needed to in the Word. Is one any more important than the other? Well, if these seven men weren't serving, you wouldn't find verse number 7 wouldn't be in your Bible. The church would not have continued growing, not only growing, but growing greatly. It would grow, but it wouldn't grow up to its potential. And a church can make it. It can make it without deacons. It can make it, I suppose, without even godly deacons. But the best way for a church to thrive is to have great and godly men who will serve and meet the logistical needs of that church in order that the spiritual leadership and staff of the church can emphasize what it needs to, and the two work in concert one with another, and God is glorified, and the church grows, and you grow. When God brings understanding to you through teaching and revelation from His Word, from the time that I'm able to spend in the Word to expound upon you what God has taught me, you learn from what God has taught me because I'm able to spend time in the Word because the deacons are serving and doing what they need to be doing. And then you work in concert with the deacons. Now, each and every church is free to define the task of a deacon based upon what they believe their felt need is. But I want to share with you what some of these duties can include. These may or may not cover us. These are just some of the things that I've been looking and researching and that you'll find. But these are just some of the things what a deacon does. And so this, you know, the old cliche, and you've heard it your whole life. Have you ever heard this phrase? You know, the deacons run the church over there, or so on and so forth. It's either the deacons run the church over there or those old ladies run the church over there. You'll hear that one or the other. Both of them are false. Christ is the head of the church. And Christ being the head of the church then, He has given authority in the church. He has given a plan for the church. And in that then, we have the leadership of the church and how the leadership of the church is established in parts of the body of Christ. But Christ runs the church and then He's given different gifts inside the church. And so we have the spiritual leadership of the church through the pastor and or the elders and so on and so forth. And then we have the logistical, physical needs of the church being met by the deacons who oversee, work themselves, and then they include other people in the work. Everybody is a servant to Jesus Christ. Amen? Yeah. And we serve whom? We serve God by serving one another. We grow by giving ourselves away. And so either you're either a deacon or you work in concert with a deacon as they become aware and see the needs that need to be met. Let me share with you just a few things very quickly as we move along. Some of the things that the deacons handle and may handle, according and giving to the church. Facilities. Deacons should be responsible for managing the church property. And this would include making sure the place of worship is prepared for the worship service, cleaning up or running the sound system or whatever it might be. Now, they might not be running the sound system. For instance, Hunter's there. But the deacons need to be sure that there's somebody there running the sound system. And if they're not running the sound system, they're doing it. A deacon, be sure that everything is done. Before the service today, I knew we were doing this deacon, voting on deacons today, choosing the deacons from out among ourselves today. I was out here Tuesday morning at the men's prayer breakfast, and I looked out there, and this might not bother y'all, but it's just, I guess it's a pet peeve of mine, but the grass hadn't been cut in quite some time. And I looked at that, and I thought about it, and I thought, this grass needs to be cut. So I called somebody and said, do you know if they're going to be out here? And I said, probably won't be out there the next Tuesday to cut the grass. Okay, I go home, get the mower, come here and cut the grass. Because I don't want the Lord's house to be any different than what my house is. And I want it to look good not only for Zion Baptist Church members, but I want it to look good in case visitors come up. We don't want it to look like we're going to bale hay out here. If we had goats or something, we'd bale the hay, you know, and take it off. These are things that if you get a bunch of men working together along with the church, that those things will be taken care of. You ever went down the road and see how many mums and that type of stuff or people got out in front of their house right now? How many people in here got some flowers or fall festive decorations out in your yard right now? Raise your hand. Some of y'all just outright lying in church. I done been by your house and saw them. You've got stuff out there. You've got decorations up. And first one thing another. You do that because you want your house to look festive. You want your house to look welcoming. You want, for whatever reason. We should want the same thing for the Lord's house. And so that comes along those lines. Facilities then. Not only that then, looking at other things. I'm talking about practical things. And this, the lights in the parking lot and the physical things that need to be done. And all this type of stuff. Not only just cosmetic things, but the physical things. And so they're aware of these things. So on and so forth. Other issues. Benevolence. Some of what took place here in Acts chapter 6 and the first 6 verses are the daily distribution for the widows, and deacons may be involved in administering funds or other assistance to the needy and so on and so forth. They oversee that. They might not be the ones that do it, but they need to be sure that all the needs are being met of the families and of the people of the church. Something else that comes along the line, I'll be very clear about this, finances. Now let me be sure to get this paper on your way out. Well, I speak of finances. While the elders, the spiritual leaders of the church, the bishops and so on, probably they're not involved with that, shouldn't be involved with that. They oversee the direction of the church, but it might be best left to the deacons to handle the day-to-day matters. And this day-to-day matters of the finances includes this, the collecting and counting of the offering, the keeping of the records and so on and so forth, seeing and serving with financial committees and so on and so forth. And so... the spiritual leaders, the overseers, and so on and so forth, the pastors and the elders and all, they don't have to deal with it. I do not handle. Somebody wanted to, I was going to be gone one time, they wanted to give me their tithes and offerings. I said, no, I won't take it. We'll not touch it. I said, you can give that to so-and-so or go put it in the plate or whatever. I'm not touching it. Don't want to hold it. Don't want to carry it with me. I bumped into them uptown. I said, am I going to be at church? Would you take it? I said, no. Would you take this to Wilton? I said, respectfully, no. I don't want it. Because that cracks the door for problems. Cracks the door. A mistake could be happening. An accident could happen. I could wash that check in my pants and then the check be gone. And I say, well, I have to call my check gone. Well, and it takes a shadow of doubt. Well, that cotton-picking preacher took that money. So you got to protect your ministry. So that's what deacons do when it comes to finances. So they can work in concert with other committees, finance committees, and so on and so forth. But they handle the day-to-day matters. Some of the other things in which we do. Ushers, they're responsible for distributing bulletins, seating the congregation, preparing the Lord's Supper, and so on and so forth. Being sure everything is met. Being sure visitors, when they come in. One of the greatest things you can do with a visitor. I met one coming this morning. Is tell them where the restrooms are at. I know you know. You've been here 100 years. But be sure they know where all the restrooms are, the nursery is, the water fountain, the fellowship hall, and so on and so forth. And what's even better than telling them is say, come on, let me show you. And you take them back there. And so they oversee this. They help and be sure that all of this is done. That goes along the lines then of aid in ministry. And I say this, they're to have charge. Be watching over of the sick and needy members. Acts chapter 6. How did they know that those Greek Jews, Greek-speaking Jews, were not being met in the daily ministry? So they had families in which they were checking on and seeing to be sure all their needs were met. So the deacons aid in ministry. So they'll have charge over sick and needy members and also then to act as counselors. And then they assist the pastors and the bishops and the elders in advancing any of the great interests of the body of Christ. And in the absence of the pastors, a lot of time it becomes the duty of the deacons to conduct the devotional meetings, provide for pulpit supply, administer to the offices of the church in general. If the secretary is missing or whatever is going on and so forth, they work with whatever committees need to be done in order to see that it's done. In other words, they're taking care of business. I mind if Elvis Presley had a ring that said TCB on it. Taking care of business, baby. That's what they do. They serve the church by taking care of these things in order to leave the bishops, the elders, the pastors, and the overseers the opportunity to spend their time in the ministry and in the Word. And then they're not to do it all themselves. They're to incorporate others to help them in doing it. And I think I got this last one on right. Yep. Just a constant service. It's needed in every worship service. Ushers are needed, the preparation of the building, all the elements of the worship. When you have the Lord's Supper, be sure everybody's got their song books. Be sure everything's working up here. All the sound systems and all of this is going. And this is directly the work of the deacons. Directly the work of the deacons. Overlook all that. They got a big job, don't they? If you look at the grounds, if you look at the upkeep of the building, if you look at the ministry house, the upkeep of that, and the block party trailers, and the tool trailer, I mean the feeding trailer, and all of this, if you look at the parsonage, if you look at all the physical buildings and stuff that they own, if you look at the finances, you look at all the offices of the church, you look at everything that needs to be done here on a Sunday and all this type of stuff, their plate is loaded. If you look at the sick, if you look at the visitation that needs to be done, look at the ministry that needs to be done with the widows and with the orphans and with the elderly and with the sick and all that stuff that needs to be done, it takes a plenty. The more deacons you have, the better. And the more organized the deacons are, the greater that it'll be. What a great privilege and office it is to have and to understand what it is and when it comes together. But all of these tasks are assigned by the church. The deacon body gladly accepts that. So where the Bible charges elders in the task of teaching and leading the church or pastors, the deacon's role is more service-oriented. Service-oriented.